Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to please stay tuned. This is a very special show today, and I believe this show could have an impact on your life. Remember, The Flatline is all about motivation, inspiration, and indeed education, and it's done, as I tell you so often, with no manipulation. This show offers nothing of useless speculation, but rather the accurate information that comes from the Word of God. The Flatline is all about you building a main line of resistance in your soul to keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. And you've heard me say it, adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. Because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. As you take the Word of God and as you learn it and learn the 10 tremendous problem-solving devices, then you will be able to handle whatever comes your way. And to be honest about it, 90% of the difficulty, 90% of the suffering that we face is indeed from our own bad decisions. And bad decisions limit future options, don't they? We've been talking the last couple of weeks on this radio show about the doctrine of the mind. We started this study when we began to consider how we deal with unfair circumstances in our life or how we deal with unfair authority issues in our life. And I've told you that you can react or respond to unfairness when it hits you. The person with the arrogance profile is always going to react to unfair circumstances in his life. He's going to react with bitterness, hostility, self-pity, or whatever. But the person with the humility profile is going to respond. And one of the best ways that you respond is with forgiveness. And when you respond with forgiveness and orientation to the plan of God, like using problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill, and turning over the extreme circumstances that you're facing to the Supreme Court of Heaven, then you're able to go through the adversity and never lose your happiness. You remember what the Bible said about the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? It said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? It doesn't mean that he was having a great time on the cross, but what it means is this, that there is no greater joy in your life than to be in the center of God's will. And our Lord and Savior, the anointed Son of God, even Jesus Christ, knew it was the will of God for him to go to the cross, because on the cross he became our substitute. On the cross he paid for our sin. And the Bible says he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. Don't ever forget that. That is the single most significant thing you should ever learn, that Jesus Christ was your substitute, that he paid for your sin. You cannot pay for it yourself. And therefore, if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I have a special friend in the studio with me today. I don't interview a lot of people on this radio show, but this is a very special friend. And I'm going to introduce him to you. And the reason that I'm going to interview this man is because he has faced unfair circumstances in his life. You know, the kind of circumstances that make you say, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything to let this happen to me. Why does this got to happen to me? And he's been under unfair authority. And he might have even said, as you've said, they can't do this to me. I don't deserve this. And so I'm going to let him talk to you about how the Word of God in his soul sustained him through these unfair circumstances that he faced. And so I'd like to introduce to you today Gary Watson from St. Louis, Missouri. Gary, thank you for coming on the Flatline.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Gary, I want to start off by telling our friends that may be listening that you served in the United States Navy. Tell us a little bit about your career in the Navy.
I spent a little over 10 years in the Navy, serving in the nuclear submarine force, and I was fortunate enough to be the submarine sailor of the year and also the recruiter of the year during my tour in the Navy for those 11 years.
And when you left the Navy, where did you go? What happened?
I went to St. Louis, Missouri for a manufacturer, to go to work for a manufacturing organization as a salesman, eventually working my way up to be the president of this large manufacturing firm.
And while you were in St. Louis, Gary, let me ask you this question. I know you personally, but our friends don't. What about your church life? Did you go to church? Did you have a church? Did you have a place to learn the Word of God?
Yes, and we still attend that same local church, and there's nothing more important than being at Bible class, taking in the Word of God daily. Every time those doors are open, it's a top priority for my family, because without that information that you can transfer to your soul and utilize in your life, you don't have anything when a crisis hits.
And you've been through some crisis. I know that for a fact. So you've been well involved in your local church for how many years?
About 25 to 28 years.
And in those 25 to 28 years, how many pastors have been through your local church?
Two.
Only two?
Only two.
Wasn't that strange? You know, most churches may have 10 or 15 in that amount of time. So the current pastor that you have, how long has he been there?
Be 24 years this, I think tomorrow, 24 years tomorrow.
And his job is to do what?
To study and teach the Word of God, and to do so consistently, shepherding his flock, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, we know you're from St. Louis. We know you got a good local church. We know you got a good, solid pastor. We know you had a career in the Navy. We know you had a job as the president of a large manufacturing company. Now, let's talk about the unfair circumstances. Let's talk about the things that may have happened in your life that our audience doesn't know about. When I told you that Gary went through unfair circumstances, what I want him to explain to you is how a man with this background and a man with this pedigree wound up in a federal penitentiary for 18 months for something that he did not do. So, Gary, take just a little bit of time, and I want you to explain two things to us. Very briefly, I want you to tell us how you wound up in this federal penitentiary, the process that led to it. I want you to tell us what sustained you while you were there and helped you get through this time as a believer in Jesus Christ.
Well, as the president of the manufacturing firm, I was responsible for anything and everything that went on within the organization, and I was accused of falsifying some documents. It was turned over to the government. They investigated. We went through a 18-month process of back and forth, and ultimately a plea deal was entered or offered to me. And over a period of days, thinking there was going to be probation, it'd be no big deal. This was like a speck of sand, and compared to eternity, my wife and I made the determination that we would take this plea deal and get probation and spend that time at home. Ultimately, when it came time for the sentencing, I was sentenced to 18 months and ended up at a federal prison camp. Believe me, it was a shock, and I think the only time during the process where I felt any anger was after that sentencing process was over. But after reporting to the federal prison camp and spending two nights there for the first time, you have all this doctrine and you're applying it, you have the Word of God in your soul, but all of a sudden it hits you that you may not be able to make it, that this is going to be too overwhelming. And I was walking through a hallway, and a book that someone I knew had written, I saw that book. And it was probably the most encouraging thing that I'd ever seen. It beat me to the location. And when I saw that book, it immediately calmed my soul. I was able to recall some of the 7,000 promises that are in the Word of God, to take those promises and recall them, believe them. It stabilized me. And from that moment on, I was able to handle it. They could never take my happiness. Nothing bothered me, and both my wife and children and myself cruise right through it on the strength that God never leaves you, He never forsakes you, and if you just trust those promises and believe them, you'll be fine.
Now, let me back up. Excuse me for coughing, but let me back up here. You just told us a whole lot. You told us that this manufacturing company accused you of improprieties in finances.
Yes.
And that you went through a long back-and-forth process for 18 months.
Yes.
With the judicial system.
Yes.
And I know for a fact that you spent every dime that you had fighting this, and that finally you came to the point where you said, I don't have any more money, and so I'm just going to have to plead guilty, and I'll live with it on my record, and you thought you would be receiving probation.
Yes, we felt like that if we did that, we could still, my wife would be okay while I was gone and be able to manage, because the funds were completely gone at that point.
So here's the interesting point. Were you ever indicted?
No.
Never indicted, and yet you went to prison?
Yes.
Because you pled guilty?
That's correct.
And did you know that they had not indicted you?
No, I found that out later.
So the government just kind of bluffed you into pleading guilty, and you were willing to accept this mark on your record just to get them off your back and go on with the rest of your life?
Yes, because after a couple of years, during this time, my father was very ill with cancer, and there was a lot going on with that. And in fact, the phone call I got for the final get-together with the government was as we were leaving the gravesite of burying my father. So it was time to bring it to a close, we felt.
And when you went to trial, you didn't have a trial by jury, I assume?
No, I did not have a trial. I just had a pleading, and then from there...
And the judge pronounced the sentence?
Yes.
And once you were sentenced to federal penitentiary, did they handcuff you and haul you away?
No.
They didn't?
No. They took me... They just told me to go on home.
Go home?
I went home, and they sent me a letter about 4 weeks later and said, in 4 weeks, report to...
Wait a minute. You went home and they sent you a letter. I can tell you were a vicious criminal. They let you go home and they sent you a letter and said, report here.
Yes.
And when you reported, how did you get there?
My wife drove me, and we went down. We had a great visit. I talked to my pastor 15 minutes before I reported in. We had a word of prayer. Then my wife and I stopped just a couple blocks before the gate and had a prayer, and I told her that we would make it through it if we just rely on God's promises, that he will not fail us and he won't let us down, and that she has to drop me off and go home and keep her chin up and just get to Bible class. We made an agreement that she would never visit when we had Bible class. When they had visitation, she could come
over. That your wife would not visit if you were having Bible class at your local church?
At our local church. She needed to be there, and the entire time I was gone, I served 14 months of the 18 months. My wife never came on a church day. She always went to Bible class.
So how far away did she live, or you live, from this penitentiary?
3 hours.
3 hours away. Wow. So you walked in this deal. Your wife lets you off. She must have went home in tears. And you walked in, reported in. Did they handcuff you or anything?
No.
Never handcuffed you?
Nope.
And you went in, and you were put in a cell, Where did they put you?
It was in a large dormitory with noise, chaos, people yelling, screaming. It was cold. It was not at all what I expected, and you expect the worst. And I would say it. What I was expecting to be the worst turned out not to be the worst, and by that I mean it wasn't in a cell, which was what I was expecting, but it was more noise, more filth, more chaos. It was cold. You couldn't sleep. You had to get adjusted to everything. You had all these people wanting anything and everything you had, which was nothing, and all I had with me was my Bible, and that was it.
So, needless to say, I know this for a fact, that after about 2 days, you were a little bit overwhelmed.
I was very overwhelmed.
And what was it again that calmed you down and oriented you back to reality? Because I've been teaching on this show about recall, and that's one of the subjects that I taught about under the doctrine of the mind, of how the Lord would like for us to recall. And I think I can find that verse right here in my notes that I was using the other day. I said, what is the source of our thoughts? And I used Lamentation 3:21, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have confidence. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. And what did you recall that assisted you?
When I saw this book that a friend of mine had written,
Where was the book?
It was laying on someone's bed, and I knew enough not to touch it, and it wasn't mine. But when I saw it, I immediately searched out the owner. It was probably the thing in all my life that lifted my spirits. When I saw that, I knew everything was going to be okay. An instant calmness.
What was the name of the book?
Oh, Mental Attitude Dynamics. I'm sorry, Rick.
And it was written by who? A pastor?
Yes, it was written by a pastor.
And you had read the book, and the pastor was a friend of yours?
Yes.
And somehow or another, that book beat you to that penitentiary?
Yes, and in searching out the owner, I found out there were many more of the books that I had read there, read prior to coming there. And I was able to get my hands on those, and within an hour of seeing Mental Attitude Dynamics, I was on a roll. We were able to start a Bible class. We had many men that accepted the Lord. But most importantly, it reminded me that if you're consistent in Bible class and you study the Word of God under a qualified pastor, and you get in there and you stay consistent, you will put this doctrine in your soul. And when the time that you need it, it will be there to be recalled. Whether it just be something simple, that God causes all things to work together for good, that those that love Him, it doesn't, especially when an unfair circumstance where you're trying, you're just starting to get angry, you're starting to get bitter, you don't know how you're going to handle it, fear sets in, worry. But when you recall those biblical truths, it's able to calm your soul, settle you down, so that you can set an example and that inner happiness you have will continue. It's the flat line that Rick's been teaching, the forward line of troops. It really is those doctrines that you have in your soul that you're able to recall under pressure. And if you can't recall them, you can't get there.
Well, I got a great verse that would probably sound exactly what you went through, but in one of the principles that I've taught in the Doctrine of the Mind on this radio show, here's a wonderful principle, and it is this, quote, "The mind that is fixed on Jesus Christ our Lord is at peace. The mind that is occupied with Christ has the opportunity for perfect peace." So listen, Gary, to this verse, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And that word, perfect peace, that's that old Hebrew word, shalom. And it means completeness or health or prosperity. And there are two types of peace here. There's peace with God and there's peace with man. And so when you put your trust in the Lord, there's not only peace with Him, but peace with man. I'm sure you needed a little peace with men in this circumstance because there were men in there that probably would have liked to harm you, but that never happened, did it?
No, it never did. I never really felt threatened. I never was concerned. I was always treated fairly. I believe that the wall of fire was around me, and God took care of those details magnificently. I can't even express in the words how magnificent it was.
Well, remember the passage, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." The word mind in the Hebrew is yetzar, and it means the intellectual framework of your soul. In other words, if your mind is stayed, and that's the Hebrew word samach, and it means to lean against or to rest. So what we have here is that the Lord will keep him in perfect mental attitude, relaxed mental attitude, perfect peace with God and man, whose mind or his intellectual framework is leaning or resting in thee. And this means to trust in the Lord. And this is the faith rest drill. Now, you know what the faith rest drill is.
Yes.
And so you talked about those 7,000 promises. Can you tell us how some of those promises sustained you during those 14 months or some situation that you saw that where you had to lean on the Word of God where, you know, any other time you might have abandoned hope and given up and just laid there and died?
Well, I think Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for His good to those who are called according to His purpose. And I say that because you start thinking about, what am I going to do when I get home? How am I ever going to find a job? How is this ever going to work out? And what I found was is he took care of all those details also, and those were never an issue. There were times where you felt like, you know, what's going to, your family's at home and they may be running short of money, or you've got issues inside the prison that you can't control. And 2 Peter 5:7 became my most favorite verse. Cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. And the Lamentations verse, our pastor teacher at our local church says that every Sunday, and that was absolutely one that each morning when I got up, I rejoiced in God's faithfulness, and I tried to live each day to the fullest, knowing that God had provided that day for me. And those are three that I can think of off the top of my head, Rick.
Well, when you were there, you began to teach some Bible classes.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. What happened? How did that door open up?
Two men who were teaching a Bible class, they were reading some of these books that I just talked about, including Mental Attitude Dynamics, and I told them that I knew this pastor and the person who had written them, and I went to this Bible class, and after a night of arguing, they approached me and asked me if I would teach the Bible classes. So within 2 weeks of arriving, I was teaching a Bible class every Tuesday night, and then it expanded to Saturday and Tuesdays, and then Sunday, Tuesdays and Saturday nights, and then we also had a Bible class on Friday night. But what we did there was help the kids read and learn how to use their Bibles on a Friday night, but with a formal Bible study, 1 hour on Tuesday nights, an hour and a half on Saturday nights, and an hour and a half on Sunday mornings. And those classes grew quite large. We had many men who accepted Christ as their Savior and got a basic biblical foundation. And our local church, actually, Rick provided them with Bibles. They would actually, I would send them the names of the new believers, and they would send them in new Bibles so they could have good personal Bible studies.
And I know they also sent them in some children's Bible studies for their children back home, these prisoners that you met and led to Christ.
That's correct. We sent them to the church, sent them not only to the men so they could work on the lessons during the week, but they sent them in also to their wives, girlfriends, mothers, whoever, who had their children, and they would do a Bible study, and then the men would do the Bible study, and then in the visiting room, they would do those studies together, and that was a way that the families could unite and grow in grace together. And also, we saw a change in the visiting room. When I first arrived, it would be sullen and people would just be all down. By the time I left, there would be Bibles all over the tables, people having discussions. Many of these books we talked about would be in there with people communicating with those and sharing what they had learned with their spouses or family members.
How about the guards? Did you have any ministry with any guards?
Yes, we had several of them ask questions, gather information. So we really did.
Mm. Any particular episode you remember? Not really. You can talk about. Okay, well, sometimes that's sensitive stuff you don't really need to talk about. Okay, I might have went where I shouldn't have gone with that one. But you did. You had
yes.
A great opportunity.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And now today, as you're out, some of these men that you... How long ago did this take place, by the way?
I've been home for over 2 years, so it's been about 3.5 years.
Wow. And so what about some of these men that you met there? Are you still in touch with them?
The men are in touch with our local church.
In St. Louis?
In St. Louis, and we have several listening on the Internet. And
so your pastor does his studies on the Internet?
Yes.
But personally, you still hear from some of them?
Absolutely. And they're all doing really, really well. We probably have, of men that were in those Bible classes and of those new believers, we probably have 15 or 20 of them that are active in their local churches right now, continuing to advance in God's Word and in His plan.
And what about you? Are you still teaching any Bible studies?
Yes, we're still teaching Bible classes. We're actually teaching prisoners. And the Lord continues to open the doors there, and we're just praying for more opportunities to get out there and spread the tremendous biblical truths that I think will help men. If we can help them change one soul at a time, that's all we're trying to do. If we can just give, if one person hears it and can take it to their family,
So what's happened is God has given you a little niche.
Yes.
And you never had this niche before you went to prison.
Never. Never. Didn't even know anybody from prison. Didn't know anybody that had ever been to jail in my life. I hung around with people who had served in the military and retired and you know, law enforcement people. I had no clue that this would ever happen. And it's the greatest joy to be able to share God's word with unbelievers and with those who feel like they're in a helpless, hopeless situation. They are not. They just need to know the key to turn. And that starts with accepting Christ as their Savior. That's the first step. Then getting under a qualified pastor, studying the Word on a consistent basis, and they will find what they are looking for, and they can truly change their life. And I think that's the only way they're really going to change it.
Well, I know for a fact that your pastor never abandoned you while you were in jail, and your friends never abandoned you. And I know that when you came out, you continued to serve and minister through your local church. And now this new area of teaching Bible studies in some of the local prisons around the area where you live. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And that's through our local church. Our support's been great. I used to have both inmates and staff alike where I was at this prison would say to me, "Why do these people come and see you? Why do these people come every single week, week after week?" And I told them it's because they're true friends, they're fellow believers, we're members of the same local church, and they did not abandon me. They applied what they knew, and that was hard for people to understand and comprehend, and that had as big an impact on other people and opening doors as anything, that they didn't leave a wounded believer on the battlefield.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. That's that old concept of shoulder to shoulder and shield to shield and unit integrity. So there you were in the federal penitentiary, and there was your pastor, and there were some of your best friends, and they were there every time the door was open for visitation to be with you.
Every time. I don't think a week went by. We had visitations on Saturday and Sunday, and I don't think a week went by that I didn't have visitors both Saturday and Sunday. And sometimes I would have people leave church at noon, drive down to see me, stay 1 hour, and drive all the way back home.
And that'd be a six-hour trip.
Six-hour trip for a one-hour visit.
Wow. Well, that's amazing that God would give you that kind of encouragement, but it's amazing the kind of ministry that He's given you since all that time happened. And it all started with what you thought was something unfair, something wrong. You were being treated for something wrong that you didn't do, and that's still the way you stand up for that today. You didn't do this.
Right.
Wow. Well, that's amazing, Gary. Thank you for coming on our show, and thank you for sharing this information with us, because I know that people like me and others that enjoy hearing this story and hearing what you've been through. By the way, if you'd like to contact Gary or get in touch with him through me, you can do that. You can write to me, Rick Hughes, Post Office Box 100, in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. Our zip code is 35054. And we will pass it on to Gary. We'd be more than happy to do that for you. Or you can write me an email on the internet and just say, "Be sure that Gary Watson gets this." That's www.bigrick.org. That's our website, www.bigrick.org. And if you'd like to, again, be in touch with Gary, talk to Gary, maybe even have an opportunity to have Gary talk with some friends of yours, then let us know. Get in touch with us. But I appreciate this man. I appreciate his friendship to me and the encouragement that he is to me. And I know by you hearing his story, you see how the Word of God sustained him through these adverse circumstances in his life. Had he not had a flatline, he would have never been able to use the faith rest drill. Had he not had a flatline, he would have never had the great happiness in his soul that he endured and experienced. It was the Word of God that encouraged him and sustained him. And it is the Word of God that will do that for you. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.